Good morning, everyone. I am thankful that the elders have given me this opportunity to come and, one, worship our God in spirit and in truth, but to also just to present a lesson that I have studied, and I hope that this lesson is found to be as an encouragement. If I were to ask you to raise your hand if you went through 2020. What a year, huh? But if you went through 2020 without any problems, without any obstacles, without any challenges, I doubt a single person in here can raise their hand. And if I were to ask, how is 2021 going for you? I doubt, again, anyone could raise their hands and say it has gone absolutely perfect, no bumps in the road, problems. We all deal with problems. And though at times we may feel that we are alone in our problems, there is nothing new under the sun. I found this interesting question, or this interesting quote. It says, identify your problems, because we all will have them, and we all do have them. Identify your problems, but give your power and energy to the solution. Author, unknown. How much credit, how much gusto do we put into following, into pursuing the people or the person who claims to have the answer for the problems of life? From a very early age, we are conditioned. We are pushed to find the solution, whether it be a math problem or a critical thinking exercise. We are conditioned to find that problem, to find that solution. And as a man, I can tell you this, that us men, we like to fix things. We like to identify the problem and be part of the solution. But sometimes some of the problems that we face, we can't rely on ourselves. Which is good, because this world is filled with problem after problem. And at times we can feel overwhelmed. And these problems can range so drastically that they can conflict with our lives. And we feel like we're spinning out of control. James here in James chapter 1, if you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to James chapter 1. James is speaking to the first century church. But he's speaking to the very beginning of that first century church. He's speaking to the Jewish Christians who have come out of Judaism. They have left behind their ritualistic practices, their family faith. And they have put on Christ in baptism, Galatians 3 and verse 27. And their problems, their commitment to Christ is going to require so much more than they first expected. Now, we face many, many challenges in this world, but we also face challenges within the Lord's body. James can give us hope. It can give us direction. It can give us encouragement to endure the race that has been set before us. It can give us the answers that we so desperately seek, that we so desperately need. And we need to rely on the one source that can fix our problems. But in order for God's word to dwell in us, and in order for God's word to have any effect on our hearts and on our minds, the first thing we must do is humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. James 4 and verse 10. The overarching theme for James is spiritual solutions for worldly problems. In James chapter 1, the beginning part, in James chapter 1, verses 1 through 12, I want us to think of James here giving us spiritual advice for spiritual endurance. The first thing that we need to accept or understand is that spiritual endurance requires, rather, it affects our perspective. Verses 2 through 4. Go with me, please, to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." James wants the first members of the church, remember the Jews, to begin to change how they see the world around them. Changing how they view themselves, but also how they view others. How they view situations that arise. He uses the word, my brethren, count. This word count means to have rule, control your mind and how you view these obstacles. Control your mind and decide in that moment how you are going to react. It means have rule over oneself and deem how we respond to our circumstances. My brethren, count it all joy. When we're in the middle of a struggle, we need to step back, we need to pause, and we need to decide in that moment how we are going to see that problem, how we are going to react. Are we going to let it break us, or are we going to let it make us? The word fall here, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. This word fall means to find oneself encamped. We, in today's lingo, say that, you know, we're drowning in obstacles. We can't catch our breath. It has completely engulfed our lives. And we can't find a way to escape. In reality, we have. And we are given a way to escape. We all undergo challenges. Some that are unique, yes, but again, there's nothing new under the sun. But James wants the first members of the church to relinquish their power over themselves and place themselves into the hand of God. He wants them to allow God to mold them into what he needs them to be. And I encourage us to allow God to mold us into what he needs us to be. He says this by the word knowing. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. This knowing comes from a Greek word which means that you have a confidence and that you allow God to take the reins. You allow God to begin to shape you. You're not resistant in that. You allow his word to prick your heart. You know, we can allow, like I said, we can allow these challenges, the obstacles, to grind us down, to destroy us, to keep us from producing any kind of fruit. Or we can allow God's word to prick our hearts, to put us low. And like James 4:10 says, we will be risen up. We will arise to new heights. We will be a new creation. You know, the Christian Jews are about to go through some difficult times. Their own will be rejecting them. The Gentiles will resent them for how they've been treated. Imagine for an instance, someone who you hated a week ago, and they hated you just as much, if not more, and now you find yourselves under the same roof, worshiping the same God, singing songs of praise, giving heed and submitting oneself to another and bearing one another's burdens. Imagine that struggle that they must have faced. But Christ requires so much more than we first expect when we put on Christ in baptism. But what we need to understand and what we need to appreciate is that endurance will produce fruit. Because look what it, again, what it says in verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? It produces patience. But how? How does trials, how do obstacles produce something? Well, let's get into some psychology here. The word testing comes from a Greek word of how a blacksmith tests a piece of metal. Now imagine this conditioning. I imagine when I see a blacksmith, he takes a piece of metal that is useless, shapeless, cannot be used for anything but a paperweight, and he begins to thrust it into the fire. I want us to think of this as our struggles, our lives. At times we are thrown into a fire and we are overwhelmed. We feel like we're drowning. And then as that hot piece of metal is withdrawn, we think that the struggles are over, and then what begins to happen to that piece of metal? It's beaten over and over again. In our lives, in our struggles, we too can feel like as soon as we are catching our breath, something happens. And then after that, what happens to that piece of metal? It is thrust back into the fire. I want to leave you here just for that moment with that picture in your head. We can become something wonderful and useful to God, but we must understand and appreciate the process that there will be stresses applied. We must appreciate that the process at times will not be fun. And it can at times be more than what we can bear. But Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 9, there he says that he was burdened beyond compare, that they wished for death. But the whole purpose of the struggle, the whole purpose of this opportunity to grow was that they would not look unto themselves for the answer, but that they would look unto God. We too are to be fully committed to the process. We need to appreciate the process, ATP. We see here that if we are fully committed to the process, that it will produce patience. And this word patience means to endure, to be steadfast to the very end. We can turn to the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 verses 3 through 4. Paul here writes and he says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing the same word, having that confident expectation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." Our hope is heaven, and we do know that. If we are then following in the steps of Jesus Christ, we will allow the things that we go through to make us perfect. And this word does not mean blameless. This word does not mean beyond reproach or no need to improve, but rather lacking nothing. Fully equipped to handle the stresses, the challenges of life. Again, I want to bring us back to the image of the blacksmith. Over time, that piece of metal will begin to shape, will begin to take form, will begin to be resembling something useful. And then the blacksmith will put on his final touches, and he will begin to polish that piece of metal. And at the end of the process, that blacksmith will be able to see his reflection in what he has created. Can people see the reflection of God in our lives? Can people see the reflection of God in our actions, in our speech, in our attitudes? Do our emotions, do our thoughts and opinions match those of God? The second thing we need to appreciate and understand is that spiritual endurance, yes, it requires the right perspective, but it also requires prayer, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a man, is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Too often, we look for help in all the wrong places. I think there's a song like that. The self-help industry is booming, and you would think that if the self-help industry was successful, they would put themselves out of business. But they can only do so much. We are told to seek after God with some of our heart. No, that word's not there. Most of our heart? No. Proverbs 3:5 says, seek after God with all your heart and lean not on what? Your own understanding. And that can be difficult at times. Too often we pray for these trials to end. Too often we go to God on our knees when it gets tough and we beg God for these trials to stop. But I encourage you to rather ask God to make them stop. Ask God, what do you want me to learn? How can I improve from this moment? And pray for wisdom. The wisdom that comes from above, we know, is perfect. It is complete. And it can fully furnish us to every good work. Turn with me to James chapter 3, verse 17. This wisdom that comes from above is the only wisdom that we truly need to make it through our day, to make it through this life, and bring as many people with us to heaven. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. This wisdom that we have provides us with the protein that we need in order to move past the elementary principles of Jesus Christ, as we see in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Knowing that the Word of God should propel us forward to have a relationship with God, a deeper relationship, not a surface level understanding, but have that intimate relationship with Him that the Word of God provides. We must never discredit the purpose of prayer. As we strive to believe that God provides a way to endure, as we see in Colossians 4 and verse 3, we must take heed. We must accept what God's Word says. And we think sometimes in this world, we often feel so small and insignificant. We're overwhelmed. We feel like we're surrounded on all sides. We're drowning. We've failed to maintain that relationship maybe at one point with God and with one another. And so we're alone. We feel like we can't do it. But we are encouraged to be as children of God when we go to Him in prayer. And I see this beautiful image of us petitioning God, us coming to God on our knees, praying to God. And even though He already knows what we are going to ask, He still listens. He's as that parent who will take time out of his busy day to mentor that child, to show that child love and affection. But we must do it according to His will, 1 John 5 and verse 14. And our faith needs to be strong that when we pray to God, we need to believe in what we're praying. Our prayer life should not be just a ritualistic practice. We need to believe in what we're praying. And we need to believe that He is able to do it. Mark 9, verses 14 and following. And also, we are to pray with that confidence. Mark 11, 22 through 25. Now, scriptures are filled with examples of who we are to pray for. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2 tells us to pray for all men, including our leaders, kings, our president, our government. But we are to also pray for the church. 1 Peter 2 and verse 17. Turn with me to Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Prayer is something that is so wonderful that it allows us to have this relationship with God. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." Now that can be hard. I want us for a moment to think of that weightlifter and imagine how he has to condition himself to be able to lift those weights. We too need to condition ourselves when we are in the fire, when we are being beaten down by this fallen world, that we can pray to God, that we don't have to even give it a second thought, that we can drop to our knees. Or we can just pray wherever we are at and pray for confidence, pray for endurance, pray for patience. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." I have a second quote here for you. It said, someone once said that God only had one son who lived without sin. I think we can all agree with that. God had only one son who lived without sin. But God has zero sons who live without prayer. If we want to be a child of God, we need to make sure that our prayer life is up to par. That our prayer life is a devoted life. That we don't do it just because we're told to do it. We don't do it just when things are bad. Our prayer life needs to be important. The third thing that we need to understand and appreciate is that spiritual endurance requires, yes, it requires the right perspective. It requires prayer, but it also requires the right pursuits. James 1, verses 9 through 11. It says, "Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits." We can look to the world and it seems like it's spinning out of control. People of the world are raising themselves up, puffing themselves up, and establishing themselves on levels that they should not be. 1 Corinthians 8:11 says, "Take heed, lest ye fall." They should not have appointed themselves to that degree. We must be aware and be mindful of what is at stake in this world, our souls, our neighbors' souls, even when this world seems like it's beating us down and those in the world, like we sang in the song, are prospering, are gaining ground. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 5. James 4, 4 tells us that friendship with the world is enmity with God. You want to be an enemy to God? Become friends with the world. As Christians, we should never say that I have made it, that I have achieved, that I am comfortable with the level of knowledge, I am comfortable with my degree of Christianity that I have. As Christians, we must continue to self-evaluate and see where and how we can improve. Paul knew this when he wrote to them in Philippians 3:12. Turn with me there, please. In Philippians 3:12, he says, "Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold to acquire, to take possession of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold for me." He continues, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Isn't there a scripture that says the man who places his hand on the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom of God? But look what he says in verse 14. He says, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Jesus Christ." We must press on. We must continue to strive to go forward. We sang the song, "Farther Along." Too often we can be dismayed by those in the world that are prospering. And the last stanza reminds us, it encourages us to remain faithful unto death. Jesus is speaking to the church in Smyrna, and John is writing, and this is what Jesus says in Revelation 2 and verse 10. "Do not fear those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested," the same Greek word, "that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death." Better translation right there is, "Be faithful even if it causes your death, and I will give you the crown of life." Our focus, our pursuit should be one that is directed to pleasing God. If you want a simple life, aim to please God. Don't worry about anything else. Aim to please God and acknowledge what you are using. The Word of God, Acts 20 and verse 32. We are told to follow after Jesus Christ. Follow in His footsteps, Luke 9 and verse 23. And to follow after things that will not fade away, as we read of in Matthew 6 verses 19 and 21. And we are not to be as that unwise man that we read of in Ecclesiastes, who began the book as the biggest fool and ends the book as the wisest man. Because he concludes that book with, "This is man's all. This is man's entire being. Fear God and keep His commandments." In 2 Timothy 4, in verse 7, Paul knows that he has reached the end of the line. He knows that his life is over. He knows that his prison sentence on earth is about to come to an end. And in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." James is no stranger to struggles. By all historical accounts, he had to live a life trying to overcome the guilt of not believing Jesus. Overcome the guilt and the challenge of trying to reach people, knowing that he has lived a life not acknowledging his half-brother Jesus as the Son of God. The Jewish Christians were going to have to overcome many things. They were going to have to change and challenge themselves in how they viewed their world and how they viewed themselves. Too often we want to skip to the end to see how a book or a movie ends. But as an avid reader, I cannot do that. It's part of the journey that gets you there. Appreciate the process. This morning, if you are here and you are not a member of the Lord's church, if you have not been immersed in the watery grave of baptism, if you have not put on Christ, as I said in Galatians 3 and verse 27, if you want to know more about what God would have for you, if you want the answers to your struggles, to your problems, please let your request be made known either by coming forward or in private. We will teach you what the Word of God says. But if you have put on Christ, if you are a member of the Lord's church and you have allowed the cares, the struggles, the challenges of this world to be as those vines that we read of in the parable of the sower and the seed, if we've wandered off that straight and narrow path that we read of in Matthew 7 and verse 13, and every time we try to produce fruit, Those thorns and those thistles puncture it, and it spoils. If you have any need this morning, I plead with you. Go to someone in private or come forward as we stand and as we sing the song of encouragement.